In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. As we conclude our series this Lenten season, speaking about how God works in concrete ways in this world, we see the end result of this in the final judgment. We see an image of the final judgment in the destruction of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was that holy city where God had placed his name. But the kings of Judah had led their people to worship false gods. Yet God loved them. So he did not send them to hell right away. He did not bring immediate judgment upon them. He wanted them to live with him. He wanted them to enjoy the good land that he had brought them into and to enjoy the temple and Jerusalem, that holy city. And so he sent to them to call them to repentance and faith. He did not send to them by visions or dreams or revelations or miracles, but he sent to them by his messengers. His love was embodied in the prophets. And by hearing their words, they were hearing his word. He called fallen man through other fallen men because the Lord is filled with compassion. But they kept mocking his messengers. They kept despising his words. They kept scoffing at his prophets. They failed to see that it was God himself who was calling them to repentance and faith. This was not a one-time rebellious act against one prophet, but this was their habitual act. Like Pharaoh in Egypt, they persistently rejected the Lord's call to grace. They saw his word as the religious opinions of men. And they saw the prophets as nothing more than legalistic zealots trying to hold on to a past while the world had moved long by them. Their continual rejection of God's love led to their destruction. They had broken the first of those 10 commandments. For it was the Lord their God who brought them out of the land of Egypt. It was the Lord their God who had led them 40 years in the wilderness out of love and compassion, feeding them with manna and quail. It was the Lord their God who parted the Jordan River, knocked down the walls of Jericho, drove out the nations before them, and gave Israel land which they did not till, houses which they did not build, vineyards which they did not cultivate, and fields that they did not plant. The Lord was good and gracious to his people, but their rejection of his love led to their destruction. This is not a metaphorical or spiritual destruction, this destruction of Jerusalem and Judah. An army came. The Babylonians came in person. Fire came from their lanterns and torches. It burned that holy city. It burned the temple, Solomon's great and magnificent temple, burned it all to the ground. Its vessels, all its treasures, all its gold and silver was carried away. And the people of Judah were killed. Those that did not have faith, which sadly there were many, were then sent to eternal condemnation. And thus it will be on the last day. The destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC by the Babylonians is a foreshadowing of that great and awesome day of the Lord. But like that destruction in Jerusalem, it also is not a spiritual or metaphorical judgment. There will not be sheep and goats, but there will be believers and unbelievers standing on our Lord's right and on his left. And all creation will be burned with heavenly fire. That is not a metaphor. Fire will fall from heaven itself to consume all things on this earth. The Pacific Ocean will be dried up. The mighty redwoods will be plucked out. Every forest, every jungle, every tree, every insect, creature, no matter how small and insignificant to us, each one will perish. Even the sun will melt in the heat of that heavenly fire. So what is physical will be destroyed by a physical fire sent from heaven. and judgment will begin with the household of God, says St. Peter. Jerusalem's destruction is not an image of what will happen to the world generally at the last day, but Jerusalem's destruction is an image, a foreshadowing of what will happen to the church, visible on the last day. Not everyone who calls Jesus Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, says Jesus. Not everyone who stood in a pulpit and preached the word of God, not everyone who drove out demons, performed miracles, healed the sick, not everyone who calls themselves a believer actually is. There are weeds mixed in with the wheat. Only believers will be saved. The cause of destruction is their rejection of the gospel. He had rescued them with his mighty outstretched arms as he was pinned to that tree on Calvary. He showed great and unending love to them, entering the very pit of hell to redeem them from their empty way of life. And yet they could have cared less. He sent to them again and again to call them to repentance and faith. But they chalked up his words as nothing more than legalistic old-timey talk of a bygone generation. The unbeliever may be more kind, generous, compassionate, and loving than the believer, but it does not matter. It is not those who are kind that are saved, while those who are unkind perish, but it is those who believe that are saved, and those who do not believe will be condemned, and they will be cast not into a metaphorical lake of fire, but they will be cast into a fire that burns without ever completely destroying. The very hairs of their head will be singed. It's a real place with a real torment. Yet that heavenly fire has not yet fallen. God delays, and he delays, and he sends more and more of his messengers to stand in his pulpits and to preach again and again his life-saving word. As the word became flesh, so the office of the ministry is incarnational. That is, the word of God comes from a human mouth. God's love is embodied in the ministry. The minister is the mouth and hands of Christ. God does not speak to you in visions or dreams, in illusions, or in the depths of your own heart or mind. But he speaks to you through his pastors, so that through the foolishness of what is preached and through the weakness of those who preach it, Christ may be exalted and you might be saved from the wrath of God. So to hear them is to hear Christ. To reject them is to reject Christ. To view them as old-fashioned and out of touch is to accuse God. To label them as misogynistic, racist, and homophobic is to attack God himself. For they preach not their own thoughts or ideas, but they preach the salvation that God has revealed. A salvation that he has worked through our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ whose once for all death has atoned for the sins of all, and then has delivered that through the forgiveness of sins to the saints. And yet somehow the world calls that hate and cruel. How few look to pastors for guidance in accordance with the word? How many look to the inner recesses of their own heart and feelings and find their certainty of God's voice there rather than in that external word? Many look to celebrities and governments, Eastern religions as their guide. Many Christians look to themselves and their own understanding. And so it's as if God has established the office of the ministry for no reason at all, because we are quite fine on our own, so we think. So how dreadful it will be on the last day for those who spurn the call of God's servants. They will wish that they were never born. They wanted to separate the body from the soul. They wanted to act like they were of the world, and yet believe in their hearts as if they were Christians. They wanted to eat their cake and to have it too. But God will not let them have it both ways. For God created hell not for the fallen man, but God created hell for the demons and the devil himself. And those who desire to reject God will end up going to be with the devil forever. Jerusalem's destruction is brief and mild compared to the destruction coming at the last. There is no annihilation, but their worm will not die, and the fire will not be quenched. The body will be destroyed along with the soul, and the emotions will be in agony, and the heart will be tortured for eternity. So hear the word of God through his ministers. Being close enough is not good enough. Being good will not save you. The Lord is near. His patience is running out. Doctrine does matter. Yes, even the details of doctrine. So what you believe and confess also matters. Whom you listen to matters. So believe the word of God, regardless if you find it exciting, relevant, applicable, or irrelevant, not applicable, and unpopular and boring. For God is the judge, not you. He is the one who judges based on faith, not you, on what you thought was important and what you thought you could discard. Because you will be the one who has to stand all by yourself in front of your incarnate judge to give an answer for what you said, did, and thought, and also to give an answer for what you believed. Doctrine alone saves, because doctrine alone reveals Jesus. It's his word, not mine. Don't say that Living Word believes this or that Pastor Fry teaches this or that. That is basically irrelevant. What does the word of God teach? And insofar as I am teaching that word of God faithfully, then yes, listen. But if I happen to stray, may God forbid such actions. But if I happen to stray, may he call me back to repentance and faith through you and through others. For the word of God alone is our defense, our certainty, and our source of comfort, not a church or a particular person. So as the judgment on the last day is corporal and eternal, so also the salvation of God on the last day is corporal and eternal. So you will be you forever, body and soul, washed, redeemed, saved by the blood of Christ, body and soul united together forever, enjoying the bliss of heaven, a physical place, a physical, concrete heaven, worshiping him who is a spirit, and yet was born a man, worshiping him who is eternal, and yet took on flesh in time and space, him who cannot die, and yet in flesh did suffer and die, and shed his blood to redeem. In the beginning, God created a concrete physical world so that you might enjoy the gifts and love of your God. And it was very good. The physical concrete world is a great blessing from God. It makes us human. Without a body, we are subhuman. We are not who we were meant to be. So in time, God himself took on a body, for he desired to enjoy communion with you now and forever. He physically died to restore that union, so that when we physically die, we might live with our bodies with him forever in the courts of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.